This is Dr. Cassieri from Andersonville Baptist Seminary. As we continue our study in the course entitled The Doctrine of Christ, at this time we're going to begin a new lesson, lesson number 5. And lesson 5 is entitled The Relationship of the Son to the Father. And within lesson number 5 we have, you'll see, 4 areas we'll look at. We'll have an introduction, which is A. B will be Jesus Christ as God is equal to the Father. And then C, we'll see Jesus Christ as man in subordination or submission to the Father. And then we'll have a little bit of a conclusion. So let's begin lesson number 5 in our course entitled The Doctrine of Christ. Lesson number 5, the relationship of the Son to the Father. That's what we want to look at in this lesson. This is a controversial point with many cults who deny the deity of Christ. They say that Jesus, like us, is a son of God, but not God. They maintain that he is a son who is subservient to the Father. And of course, he'll quote scriptures or take scriptures out of context to prove it. How do we, as Bible believers, answer their arguments? I believe that in brief, the answer is this. As God, Jesus, in his pre-incarnate state, was, is, and always will be equal with God the Father. However, in his incarnate state, he is definitely in submission to the Father. A study of the pre-incarnate Christ will help us to appreciate what the Son emptied himself of in order to become our Savior. And of course, we see this in Philippians. If please turn with me to Philippians chapter number 2. In Philippians chapter number 2, I want us to look at verses 5 through 8. You're probably very familiar with this passage, but let's read it together anyways. Philippians chapter 2, beginning in verse 5, and we'll read down through verse 8. So we can get an idea of what Jesus Christ, the Son, emptied himself of in order to become our Savior. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And we'll talk about this later on as we look in as Jesus Christ as man in submission to the Father, amen. But we certainly can get a good idea here of what he did. He was God, and then he was equal with God. Jesus Christ is God, but what did he do? Well, he made himself of no reputation. How did he do that? He took upon himself the form of a servant. He was found in the fashion of man. Not only was he a man, but he was a servant. All through the Gospels, we see him healing and helping and giving his disciples a wonderful example of being a servant. As he said, he came to seek and save that which was lost. He came to minister and not to be ministered unto, amen? And then not only that, but he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, even the death of the cross, amen? Now, let's look at Jesus Christ as God is equal to the Father. Look with me in First John, first epistle, first general epistle of John, chapter 2, and verse 23. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledge the Son hath the Father also. Amen. We see in John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5. Let's read that. John chapter 5 in verse, Gospel of John chapter 5 in verse number 18. John 5:18. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. The Jews, who were strong believers in Deuteronomy chapter 6, understood Christ's meaning. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. That's why they became angry. Amen. And they sought to kill him. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, in verse number 4, Deuteronomy 6, 4, Bible says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. See, the Jews recognized but one God. As it says here, the Lord our God is one Lord. And they considered Christ's claims as blasphemous and worthy of death by stoning. Let's look at Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus chapter 24 with me. In Leviticus chapter 24, we want to look at verse number 12 of Leviticus 24. It says, And they put him inward, that the mind of the Lord might be showed unto him. And then what we want to see actually is in Leviticus 24, we want to look at verse 16. And he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death. And all the congregation shall certainly stone him, as well as the stranger, as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. So we see here that the Jews consider what Jesus was saying as blasphemy, blaspheming the name of the Lord. And as in Levitical law, a person that did that was to be stoned. Amen. That's why they were so angry and they sought to kill him. But in John chapter 10, in verse number 30, notice what it says. We're looking at Jesus Christ as God is equal to the Father, as we're looking at the different scriptures here. In John chapter 10, the Gospel of John, notice what Jesus says in the Gospel of John chapter 10 in verse number 30 with me. John 10 verse 30. Jesus says, I and my Father are one. Here he's claiming that he and the Father are the same. They're equal. Amen? Notice in John chapter 14. In John 14, verse 9. And Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us, it's actually John 14, 8. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And then in verse 9 of John 14, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? He's saying, how sayest thou, Philip, how do you say, show us the Father? What he's saying here, they are one, the Father and Jesus are one and indivisible. Amen? Notice what the Word of God says in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 with me. In Colossians chapter number 1, in verse number 15, Colossians 1, 15, in the context, it's speaking about Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. It says, who, referring to Christ, is the image of the invisible God. Jesus Christ, in other words, is the visible reflection of the invisible God. God's invisible because he is a spirit. Amen? Now look what Jesus said in John chapter 10. The Gospel of John chapter 10 in verse number 33. John 10 verse 33. We read, the Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus was trying to prove to them that he was God, but they stubbornly refuse to believe him. We read just a while ago in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6, Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Jesus was honestly equal with the Father, with God the Father. Amen? Notice with me in John chapter 17 of the Gospel of John, and of course this is the Lord's Prayer. Amen? As he prays to his Father in heaven, amen, for the believers. Notice what Jesus says in John chapter 17 in verse number 5. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus was refers to his pre-incarnate glory here. Amen? Look at in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, in the beginning was the Word. That's Christ, referring to Christ. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this here is a strong positive statement that opens John's Gospel to show that Jesus Christ is God, that Jesus Christ and God the Father are equal. They're one and the same. Amen? In 1 John, first general epistle of John in chapter 5, in the first general epistle of John in chapter 5, we want to look at verse number 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. We see that the Apostle John, both in his gospel and epistle, in his gospel and his epistles, his general epistles, states the fact repeatedly that Jesus is God. We see in the book of Titus, amen, that Paul the Apostle wrote, joins John in this testimony. Look at what it says in Titus chapter 2. Paul writes and says the same thing that John says in Titus chapter 2 with me, the book of Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Showing that God, the Father, and the Savior, Jesus Christ, are one person and one person only. Amen. They're the same. They're the same. Amen. Now, as Titus, in the book of Titus, it says, the one that we wait for is God the Savior, who came the first time to Bethlehem. The writer of Hebrews, who I individually believe was Paul, also adds the same testimony in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of thy kingdom. So we see here in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8, God the Father calls his Son God. Jude, in his great benediction, calls the Savior God. Looking in Jude, the book of Jude in verse 25. The book of Jude, verse 25, we read, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. We see one of the difficult verses to understand is Colossians 2:9. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. We're told, for in him, that's Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. This verse is too immense for us to, with our finite minds as humans, to really understand it all, but that's what the Word of God says. To say the least, Christ is perfect and complete in deity, lacking not one thing. Amen. To say that he is only a son of God is to insult and blaspheme the Savior. Amen. Because God the Father and God the Son, as we see, are equal. That's what all these verses show. You know, beyond a shadow of doubt, that Jesus Christ, as God, is equal to God the Father. Amen. At the transfiguration, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 2, we get a glimpse of the glory of the pre-incarnate Christ. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 17 and see what I'm talking about. Matthew chapter 17 and verse 2. We'll begin in verse 1 to get the context. After 6 days, Jesus, taking Peter, James, and John, his brother, bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face, that's Jesus' face, did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And here's a glimpse, all right? Peter, James, and John had a glimpse of the pre-incarnate Christ. Amen. Whoever refuses to accept Jesus Christ as God, equal to the Father, is guilty of rejecting the Word of God. Amen. Because as we see, as we go through these verses, we see clearly, without any doubt, it's very clear. This is not deep. Amen. It's right on the surface. Very easily understood that Jesus Christ as God is equal to the Father. to question or deny the eternal preexistence and glorious pre-incarnation of Christ does not lessen the fact that Jesus is and had always and has always been God. The one who questions these facts is guilty, amen, of an awful slander against the Savior. And I just pity that person, that ungenerated person, amen, when they wake up, amen, and they stand before the great white throne judgment, amen. Let us rather glory in the fact that though he were true God, equal with the Father, that he emptied himself of his majestic garments of divinity for our sakes. What a blessing. I think as Christians sometimes we take that and so many of the other things of Scripture for granted. Amen. But what we must see here is just what he gave up, what he emptied himself of for our sake, so that you and I would have a way to heaven, amen, through his precious shed blood. Let us fall before him in worship, praise, and adoration for his great sacrifice. I think we need to do that individually as Christians every day. You know, before we get into a prayer of asking him for this and that, to just fall before him on our face and worship him and praise him and adore him and thank him for his great sacrifice. And what, because of that great sacrifice, what awaits each in every believer, amen. All right, let's continue on. So far as we're into lesson number 5, the relationship of the Father to the Son, we had a brief introduction, which is we've just completed section B of this lesson, Jesus Christ as God is equal to the Father, and now we'll begin section C. Jesus Christ is man and is subordinated or in submission to the Father. Now, when Jesus Christ became man, he voluntarily took the lower place, a place of humility and subordination to the Father, to God the Father. In Gospel of John, chapter 14, and we want to look at John chapter 14 at verse number 28. John chapter 14 and verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And of course, Jesus in the form of man now, is speaking of the eternal God. Amen. In this verse, when he said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. Again, you've got to remember this is God manifest in the flesh. He took on the form of a servant and was fashioned like unto man. Amen. So Jesus here is come in the flesh, is speaking of the eternal God. When Jesus was conceived of the Holy Ghost, then he entered into a new relationship with God. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 1 with me. Hebrews chapter number 1. In Hebrews chapter number 1, in verse number 5, "For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son." And of course, this occurred, what we're speaking about, in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 and verse 35, where we read, "And the angel answered and said unto her," speaking of Mary, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." So that's when that took place, and as we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 5. We see in John 3:16, refers to Jesus as the only begotten Son. And of course, this was prophesied in Psalm number 2, Psalm number 2, in verse number 7. Psalm 2, verse number 7. Psalm 2, verse number 7, we read, "I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." Does this begetting of the Son refer to the origin of the eternal God, the Lord Jesus? Certainly not. For as God, he was never born. He always existed. In Isaiah chapter 9, we read in verse 6 and 7, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So we see that he is the everlasting Father. Amen. He's called here in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. The begetting refers to that which transpired in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, which we just read, when the Holy Ghost came upon the Virgin Mary and the human Jesus was conceived. Now, we want to look at some ways in which the Son was in submission or subordinated to the Father. Jesus' earthly life was lived because of the Father. Look in the Gospel of John with me in chapter number 6. The Gospel of John with me, chapter number 6. And in chapter number 6 of the Gospel of John, let's look at verse 57. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 57. Again, we're looking at ways in which the Son was in subordinated to the Father or in submission to the Father. "As the living Father has sent me, I live by the Father. So he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. So we see that he says, I live by the Father. In other words, the Father sustained the Son. Then we see that Jesus could not do anything independently of the Father. Look in John, the Gospel of John, chapter 5, in verse number 19 with me. John 5, verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, like also doeth the Son likewise. So we see then that Jesus could not do anything independently of the Father. And then we see that Jesus was sent to earth by the Father. Again, let's turn to John chapter 6. In verse 29, John 6, verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. In other words, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom, him is God, whom is Jesus he hath sent. Amen. Then we see also in the Gospel of John, chapter 8, and verse 29. John 8, 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. Again, 8, 29, John chapter 8, verse 29. He that sent me is with me. Again, showing that God the Father sent the Son. And then again in that same chapter, John 8, verse 42, Jesus said unto them, If God were your Father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. So we see then that Jesus Christ was sent to earth by the Father. Now, we also see that the Father gave the Son authority and directions. Let's look at in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, in verse 18. The Gospel of John, chapter 10, in verse 18. Jesus said this, No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Also, let's look at John chapter 13, verse 3. John chapter 13, verse 3 with me. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, that he was come from God and went to God. See that again? Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. So we see here again that the Father gave the Son authority and directions. Also we see, as we're looking at ways in which the Son was subordinated or in submission to the Father, we see that Jesus Christ received his messages from the Father. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8, in verse 26. John, chapter 8, with me, in verse 26. And we read, Jesus said, I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. So we see that Jesus received his messages from the Father. Then the Father gave to the Son certain works to accomplish. The Father gave to the Savior or to the Son certain works to accomplish. We see this in John chapter 5, the Gospel of John chapter 5 with me, in verse number 36. Jesus said, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me." We also see this in John chapter 17, verse number 4. John 17, verse number 4 with me. As Jesus prays to the Father, he says, "I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do." So again, we see that the Father gave to the Savior certain works to accomplish. Again, what we're doing here is we're looking at ways in which the Son was subordinated to the Father or in submission to the Father. The Father assigned a kingdom to the Son. Looking in Luke chapter 22 with me, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22 with me. Luke 22 and verse 29. Luke 22, 29. Jesus said, "And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me." So we see then that the Father assigned a kingdom to the Son. Now, during the present church age, Jesus is subjected to the headship of the Father. Look with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 with me. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, we read, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So we see that during the present church age, Jesus is subjected to the headship of the Father. Again, we're looking at ways in which the Son was subordinated to the Father or in submission to the Father. Christ has become the way by which men are able to approach God. Looking in Hebrews with me. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7 in verse 25. Hebrews 7:25. We read, "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him," that's Jesus Christ, "seeing he," that's Jesus Christ, "ever liveth to make intercession for them." So we see then that Christ has become the way by which men are able to approach God. Jesus has become the way to God, the way of salvation. He is the only way. Look at in John chapter 14 with me. John chapter 14. In the Gospel of John, chapter 14, Jesus saith unto him, let's read John 14, beginning in verse 1. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." So we see then that here Jesus has become the way to God, the way of salvation. Also, we see that Jesus referred to God, or referred to the Father as my God. Let's turn to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and verse number 17. John 20, verse 17. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. And then also we see in Matthew chapter 27, Gospel of Matthew chapter 27, in verse number 46. Matthew 27, verse 46, the Word of God says, And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So we see here then that Jesus refers to the Father as my God. Now, so we've looked at some ways in which the Lord was subordinated to the Son was subordinated to the Father and submission to the Father. Now, we want to look at, briefly, is the extent of the subordination. How long will it last? Now, we read in Luke chapter 22 and verse 29, it says that the Father gave the Son a kingdom. The Son will return this to the Father. We read this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. The period of subordination extends beyond this, beyond the consummation of this age, even beyond the great white throne judgment. Because again, we read in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 27 and 28, For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he hath saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And now we want to conclude lesson number 5, the relationship of the Son to the Father. If we understand the Scriptures aright, there is no conflict here. The pre-incarnate Christ is and always has been equal to the Father, God Almighty. The human incarnate Christ laid aside this position and in his self-humiliation chose a place of subordination to the Father as a child to his parent. The more we study the sevenfold humbling of Christ in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 8, the more we see manifested his tremendous love for us while we were yet lovingly sinners. Let us hasten this wonderful message to the masses of earth. Well, my dear students, that ends lesson number 5, the relationship of the Son to the Father. And this ends tape 3, side 2. And when we meet again, we'll begin lesson 6, entitled The Humanity of Christ.